From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua with the next portion of a message called Facing Death Without Fear. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called, God Himself Shall Work. The text is Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 10. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. When the spoilers had made the land as waste as if devoured by locusts, and the warriors who had defended the country sat down and wept like women, then the Lord came to the rescue. When travelers ceased from the roads to Zion, and Bashan and Carmel were as vineyards from which the fruit has failed, then the Lord arose. God is exalted in the midst of an afflicted people, for they seek His face and trust Him. He is still more exalted when, in answer to their cries, He lifts up Himself to deliver them and overthrow their enemies. Is it a day of sorrow with us? Let us expect to see the Lord glorified in our deliverance. Are we drawn out in fervent prayer? Do we cry day and night unto Him? Then the set time for His grace is near. God will lift up Himself at the right season. He will arise when it will be most for the display of His glory. We wish for His glory more than we long for our own deliverance. Let the Lord be exalted, and our chief desire is obtained. Lord, help us in such a way that we may see that Thou Thyself art working. May we magnify Thee in our inmost souls. Make all around us to see how good and great a God Thou art.
Like mountains, I soar away above thy clouds. Thy charge.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In Joshua chapter 23, the great leader of Israel is giving his final exhortation to the children of Israel. He has urged them to remain faithful to the Lord. Verse 14 opens with a very solemn declaration. As Joshua says, Behold, I am this day going the way of all the earth. Here Joshua faces the inescapable truth of his own death. Looking back over a life of faithful service to God, Joshua rests in the promises of the Lord in whom he has trusted since his youth. This is a solemn confession that death is the portion of every man, and there are no exceptions. Yet, as we'll see today, Joshua possessed a striking confidence, for he had lived his whole life for God, and so could face death with no concern and no regrets. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message called Facing Death Without Fear.
Neither Moses nor Joshua could escape that awful reality. I must go the way of all the earth. Age is no defense. I don't really make a hobby of going around graveyards. It's probably why I'll never be among the great preachers of the world. Great preachers all seem to have, or at least many of them seem to have that hobby. But one thing I have found, and it's a solemn place to go. One of the, let me say, two of the most moving experiences I've ever had. One was in Jerusalem, just outside the old city. There is the Allied War Cemetery, where the British soldiers who fought the Turks and the Holy Land were buried. Many, many, many hundreds of them came from our own little province. And just to go along that beautifully kept cemetery and just see these little white crosses, each with its own little marker. Boys of 18, boys of 20, 21, young men cut down in the flower of their youth. Last summer when we visited northern France, every few hundred yards there's a graveyard, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of little white crosses. No one knows whose body's buried there. Perhaps the regiment from which they came. They're gone, young men in the flower of their youth. You may say, of course, that's war, and so it is. But I have never been in a cemetery yet where you couldn't span the entire age of man from infancy through to old age. In my own ministry, I have gone with parents carrying a little white coffin to burying the man of 100 years old. Age is no defense against the encroachment of death. Strength affords no protection. How foolish for young men to think, I am strong, I am healthy, I cannot be cut down. Sometimes by what we call accident, sometimes by what the insurance industry calls the act of God, sometimes because they don't know what's working in their bodies at all. I've seen young men at the very peak of what they took to be health and strength just cut down like that and straight out into God's eternity. Strength affords no protection. There is no muscle-bound man on earth that will wrestle with this great last enemy. I read of someone whose name now escapes me who said, "Oh, death, if you were but a man, I would beat you." But death is not a man to be wrestled to defeat. Religion provides no refuge from it. Be you Hindu or Muslim, Romanist or Protestant, be you Christian or infidel, there is no escape because of your religion, and ignoring it will never stay its progress. One of the ancient Greek playwrights said, "Death takes no denial." And he was right. Man may defy gravity, but he certainly never defy the grave. It's impossible. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, we cannot stay its hand. It has often been remarked that here in the United States of America, and of course it may well be true in Western European countries as well, that the vast majority of the dollars that are ever spent on your health and welfare are spent on the last few months of life, where people are hooked up to every kind of machine and with every kind of tube and with every kind of facility known to modern science to try and eke out a few more hours or a few more days. The reality is that there is nothing we do, however skillful, however scientific, however powerful in terms of medical accomplishment, there is nothing we can do that will extend life one hair's breadth beyond the day of God's appointment. Joshua makes this solemn confession. This day I am going the way of all the earth. As we sit in this service this morning, I want you to feel the reality of that, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. I want you to feel the reality of that. Face it with honesty. Because in this solemn confession, Joshua expresses also a striking confidence. When I read this statement in its context, I find that here there is no hint of fear. There is not in anything that Joshua said the slightest sign of fear or of worry or of any sort of concern about his own welfare. There was no regret. Joshua was not an old man desperately trying to hang on to life and power. Now remember, at this time, somewhat like Moses, he appears still to have been in the full vigor of life, even though he was a very old man. Yet God had maintained him in such health and strength that he was still able to conduct the affairs of a great nation. He was still able to direct the various tribes. He was a man still in vigor. And yet, as he makes this statement, there is not the slightest hint either of fear or of regret. What a confidence he had. I tell you, when you go to the men of this world, men who have aspired without God or without Christ to do a great work, say in a nation, you will discover that when death comes, they do not have this confidence. We have been studying the French Reformation. As I said at the beginning, somebody thought that it should be the French Revolution I was talking about. When you mention the French Revolution, there was a very famous political thinker and political orator, a leader in the early revolutionary movements in France, Honoré Mirabeau. Mirabeau, as he came to die, said, I have in me 100 years of life, but not one moment's courage. And he asked for opium to dope him as he would go out into the great blackness beyond. Think of it. A man who could move the thousands, a man who could topple kings, a man who had the vision to set up a great revolution and to set the course not only of that nation but of others. And yet now, as he comes to die, feeling he wanted to live for 100 years, he says, I don't have one moment's courage to face death. No courage, no confidence. How different for Joshua. How different for the man of God when he comes to say goodbye. He's a man who was the president of Baylor University in the early part of this century. As he lay dying, he wrote a message to the senior class. And in it he said, "I stand on the border of mortal life, but I face eternal life." That's a great confidence to have when you're standing on the borderland of eternity. You contrast with that a man who in many people's estimation stands as the greatest of men in this 20th century. Certainly one of the greatest. And I refer to India's famous Mahatma Gandhi. 15 died, Gandhi said, "Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being, and I find a solace," referring to the Hindu scriptures. He said, "I find there a solace that I miss even in the Sermon on the Mount. Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being." That was 15 years before he died. Just before he died, he wrote, "My days are numbered. I'm not likely to live very long." He thought a year at the most, actually. "For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. I am praying for light." See the difference? Joshua, neither fear nor regret. It's very interesting that Joshua had no need to change either his life or his labors when he knew he was dying. When Joshua recognized, "I am going the way of all the earth," there needed to be no change. He continued in the very end of his life, as he had in the former part. There wasn't some frantic effort to turn things around, to undo all that had been done, to try at the last to make some impression on a holy God. Joshua died as he lived. And of course, most people do. It's been well said that all living is a preparation for dying. Joshua lived his life as he wished to be living it when he faced death. Very wise. How many people are the opposite? Perhaps this morning this comes home to you. Most people, I fear, are like the false prophet Balaam. Balaam lived for money. He sold his soul for money. He would willingly serve the devil for money. He would curse what God had blessed for money. He would do anything because he served the God of filthy lucre. Balaam knew what money could do in the world. He knew the ease that it could bring him. Balaam had his sight set on such things, and that's how he lived his life. But what did he say then? "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Let me live the life of the ungodly, but let me die the death of the saint. Let me live my life going down the broad road to hell, but let me enter in through the gates of glory. Let me live my life for the devil. Let me reap the harvest for God. That's what he was praying. Many, many people in that position, when they know that death is approaching, suddenly feel, well, let's turn life around. Let's stop doing all these things. Let's start out trying to establish some account with God. Usually, I say usually because in the mercy of God, He sees to the very end. The God who could save the dying thief can save anybody. But never forget there was another dying thief.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.